Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.
I'd like to talk to you this evening. I'd like to talk to you about getting on when things are not going quite so well. Like this morning, I woke up. You gotta keep on keeping on. your name. Not Buddha nor Muhammad, but it's Jesus we cry out loud. Father, just forgive us. Hear us when we say, we'll give you, give you, give you everything. Our lives and souls today.
Family, and then everything else comes after that. But I'm always the devil's advocate. So my answer to your question is eggs not being done.
Eggs not being
done. They not equal. You got some that's done and some that's running. That's unequally yoked. But, yeah.
Something's running.
Yeah, something running.
And that's funny. That's funny.
You got the devil's advocate.
That's funny. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. That's what our topic is going to be about tonight. We're going to really dig into it and decide and really try to find out the true meaning of the word. We've heard a lot of people say it. We've heard a lot of people say it in maybe relationships that didn't work out. And you hear the saying, we were unequally yoked. And so I wanted to really find out what is a yoke. And you know me, B-Ray, when I want to find something out, I'm going to reach out to someone I trust. I'm going to reach out to someone who is a shepherd, a pastor, someone who has the responsibility of leading their flock. With that being said, because he wouldn't lead us wrong, I have a remarkable man with me, Pastor Mark A. Harris, again joining us on the show tonight. Pastor, are you on?
I am on. Thank you.
We also got Kia D on as well.
Say that again.
I said we also have Kia D on as well.
Kia D. Hey, Kia, how you doing tonight?
Hello, Big Joe. Hello, Pastor Harris. Hello, B. Ray. Hello, We Talk Radio family.
Hey. How you guys doing this evening?
Super fabulous. God is good. How y'all doing tonight?
I'm great.
I'm well, thank you. Staying safe. Yeah.
Okay.
Sheltering.
Maintaining my social distance.
Yes.
Great topic tonight, Big Joe. Great topic. It is causing a lot of conversations out there. I talked to CP right before the show, and she wanted me to deliver this message. She said, listen, I cannot. She said she has, of course, virtual church every Tuesday night. They do Bible study. She said, but she's going to make sure that one of these Tuesdays real soon, she's going to have her entire Bible study class tuning in because she really, really wants to be here. And I was telling her about the topic, and she was, oh, my goodness, she was so excited. So definitely want to let you know you got a whole team of people who can't be here tonight but really, really want to support you. So, and the topic is amazing. So, yes, let's talk.
So, real quick, Kia, when you think of unequally yoked, what comes to mind? Or are you even a yoke?
Well,
what is a yoke?
Well, the core, the foundation of it, if you're unequal, then this means there's some unbalance somewhere, you know, in the bottom line of things, if you know what I mean. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Pastor, can you help us out? What is a yoke?
In the original term of being yoked has to do with oxen being yoked together to pull a load. And they would place a yoke around the neck of each of the oxen in order to equalize the power of that pull. They would be going in the same direction, and there would be as much strain on one as it would be the other. And in that instance, it would help each, the one against the other, because it would equalize the burden. Now, when Paul talks about it, to the church at Corinth, he's telling them, don't be yoked up with an unbeliever. So this has more of a spiritual connotation than it does a physical one. However, the world used the terminology of irreconcilable differences, which has to do with we couldn't get along, we weren't on the same page, we didn't like the same things, and it may not be unequally yoked. So sometimes it's confusing to some people that they are the same. But to be and notice that Paul used a double negative when he talks to the Corinthians about it. He says, do not be unequally yoked. So he's saying this is not good for an unbeliever or for light to get in the bed with darkness, or right to get in the bed with wrong. If you're a Christian and you want to marry a thug, and you know, I mean, you can't just hook up with the guy because he's cute. Cuteness don't pay light bills. Cuteness don't keep food on the table, don't keep transportation in the driveway. I mean, if you understand my drift, that's what my idea from the text says. And they are right in a sense that people are not pulling their weight in a relationship, you know. But you cannot expect them to pull it from the perspective of Christ if they are unbeliever to start with. You want to pull blood out of a turnip, that's not going to happen.
So to be unequally yoked is more of a faith
it's a
statement or my faith.
It's a spiritual statement as opposed to a tangible one, a physical one. It's about what you believe over against what they believe or their theology or. If they have no relationship with Christ, but you do, and this usually applies to those who get married to somebody and they're already saved. Now, the problem comes in is when you become saved after you get married. Make sense?
Okay. Help me out with that.
Because,
I can see where the problems would come in, because the transformation of the other partner,
right?
They're becoming a new person in front of you, but help me out.
Let me be personal. I started preaching at the age of 23. I got married at 21. My wife did not marry a preacher, and that was an issue for her because she didn't want to be married to a preacher. So, I mean, it was a conundrum for me because I'm saying, Lord, I'm doing what you asked me to do. You told me to preach your word. But my wife don't be with me no more because I'm a preacher. And so I had to win her over based upon my relationship with him in order for her to have a relationship with him. Because just because the Lord calls you, he doesn't automatically call your wife. And so it's, If I can't win her over, then it will dissolve this relationship in the long run, because I'm going in one direction and she's going to go in another direction. And so that means we would be unequally yoked. Because you can't be tied together going in different directions.
Right. Hey, everybody, this is T. Smiley. Real quick, I want to say something while I'm at the stop sign. Pastor, I agree with you. I was taught, growing up, I was always taught pretty much the same way as you're saying now. But the way I received it was the simple fact of being unequally yoked. You don't want to be with, you know, so say for instance, two people going to the church unsaved, right? And then
right.
either the man or the, say for instance, okay, two people going and boyfriend, girlfriend, they go to church, they unsaved. The boyfriend end up getting saved, end up having a relationship, getting close to God, learning more about God, but the girl want to stay out and do everything that's been done that, you know, that we do usually on the, during the week, a weekend, or whatever the case may be, and you still try to be with that person. You know, after all that stuff is going on, you know, hey, look, I found God. You know, this is where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? But the girl don't want to break up with you, but she also don't want to be at church. So it gives an opportunity to, if you stay in it, are you staying in it to pull that person, to try to get that person to come with you? Or if you stay in it long enough, will she pull you back to where y'all once were? So to me, that's unequally yoked too as well. So
most definitely it is,
because I mean, think about it, if you're in a relationship and you really like this person, but this person ain't trying to follow you and they always constantly steady trying to get you to do the opposite, the wrong thing versus the right thing, who gonna give in first? The person that's doing right, which gonna cause the person that's not doing right to do right? Or is it going to cause the person that's doing right to do wrong because they want to stay in this so-called relationship that they're in? You know what I mean? That's unequally yoked.
Yes. And that's why they said that darkness can't get in the bed with light. They don't go the same direction. And so, but if you love that person, if you love the person and you really want to be in that relationship with them, then you could win them as a partner in Christ if you put the time in, you know. But you got to be strong in your faith, because you're right, they could win you over to the other side. And that's the warning. That's the warning to those who are in the light, not to hook up with those who are in the dark, because then you're putting yourself in a position where you can be compromised.
You can go dark. You can go dark, basically. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. You can go dark. You can.
I have something on that really quickly. I knew a young lady who was married for. She's still married right now, actually. And it's just one of those chance situations. And when I met her, she had been already married for 21 years, something, or 24 years.
Okay.
And her husband would not go to church. Her husband didn't go to church before they got married. She was into church because her family was always into church. They got married. He still wouldn't go to church. 24 years later, once I met her, he still refused to go to church. He was deep in church, prayed heavily, and was always asking God to make sure her husband was safe and protected. Now, it wasn't that he did anything crazy. On Sunday mornings, he was just watching football all day, sports all day long, you know. So it wasn't that he was out doing anything, you know, crazy. He was just watching sports. He was like, I'm not going. Find out, I just recently talked to her about 8 years ago, and she said that he had just recently, about a year prior, started going to church. But it was her diligence of continuing to pray, and, you know, and she one day, he was, you know, she got up to go to church, and he got up too and had church clothes on, and he was like, I'm going with you. And she was shocked, but he went. And has still been going. So, you know, I guess there are instances when that can happen, but it's so few and far between, You know, I just had to put that out there because I guarantee you I got people out there saying, no, wait, I got to. So there are opportunities because I knew a lady. I knew a woman personally who that happened to. And right now her husband does go to church. So, but it can happen.
Yes, it most definitely can happen. And I have members in my church who are like that. I have women who come to church every Sunday, come to Bible study every Wednesday night, and their husbands will not come with them. But then I had this husband. He had some sort of cancer or something, and when he got sick, he didn't come to the church, but he called me and asked me to come to the house. He said, "Now, I know you're a preacher, and my wife come up to that church all the time." He said, "Now, can you come?" I said, I would love to come to your house." I went to his house, prayed with him, and had a wonderful conversation. And the next Sunday, he was at the church. It's amazing what your life with Christ will do if you just stay with it. But usually people give up before they get to that point. 20 years in and they still ain't coming to church, you think that they won't come. But they will if you stay with it, because the God in you will enlighten them at some point in their life. And they have to believe this person been going to church for 20 years. There's got to be something to it. And sometimes it takes 20 years. Sometimes it takes 30 years. But you will not have to go through all of that if you make the choice at the beginning. And that's what Paul is saying. If you already saved, if you are already a believer, if you are already in the light, then why would you go get somebody out of the darkness to yoke up with, to be your partner in life? You asking for a lot of, you know, hardship, heartache, heart problems. You know. Not that you can't overcome it, but why would you do that, you know, based upon a look? We make some of the greatest decisions in our life on a look. We have no idea as to what we're getting into. I know I didn't. Listen, I'm 62 years old. I'm a grown man. You know, I'm sheltering in place because I don't want to be out there with this corona right now. That's how serious this is. But in spite of that, 62, I done seen a lot of things. I done been a lot of places in my life, but I've never seen this country or this world in the place that we are in now. And there is nobody in our generation who've ever seen this, where the whole entire world is shut down. And you think about it, if I have the choice at the beginning of my relationship with my wife to be with her, I was not saved when I got married, neither was she in that regard. But we loved each other, and we got married because of our love for each other. But we had a lot of issues that we had to get through to get 42 years in. And it hadn't always been good, but it's been a blessing to know that you can get through certain things if you love, first of all, you got to love the person, you know. And if you love to the degree that you'll be willing to spend the rest of your life with them, you got to also take into consideration your relationship with God, whether or not you are a Christian or not. Why do people even get married in the first place? Because it's instituted of God. That's why. And you ought to at least consider what God has to say about it. Don't you think?
Yeah, but I think a lot of people marry because they like the person. And because a lot of times with divorce happening so high, or divorce rates so high, is it actually a love situation, or was it just the infatuation? Love covers a multitude of sin.
I know so, people who got married more than one time. I mean, several times. They got married, and then they couldn't get it. Then they divorced, and then they got married again, and then they divorced again, and then they got married again. And that's because they had not put their life together. You know, they wasn't ready for marriage when they got married. They liked the person, and then they discovered that they loved the person. But, you know, and then sometimes they just want to play around and see what else they got, you know, over the fence, that they maybe even be, are they shopping for something better? But they discover that love is the greatest commodity in this world. With love, you can make it. Even if you're unequally yoked, that's key. If you love that person and you can communicate with person, and even if that person don't want to come to church, they have not yet recognized God in the universe, and they love, or their love of football is better than going sitting up listening to some preacher, then, you know, if you love that person, your ultimate goal is to win that person to Christ. Because somewhere, somehow, some way, it's going to come up. They're going to have to meet God somewhere and pray to God that when it does happen, you'll be there to lead them to it. Because it's our greatest joy to lead somebody else to Jesus. That's the Christian's hope and joy of life, is to lead their family, their children, their uncles, their aunts, their siblings, you know, the people that they work with, their neighbors, whoever would hear. I mean, if you had the answer to their problem, wouldn't you not share it with them? So this time, I mean, this is a great time for doctors, nurses, people in the health industry, as well as for preachers. If they're true to their calling, if it's not a show for them, if it's not all about them, if it's really about Christ, this is a great time to lead people to Christ. You know, I've been sheltering in place. I've been on the air for the last five Sundays. I have not been to my church. I did not want to put the people of God in harm's way. That was just, and I saw that early on because I was paying attention to what was going on back in January when I first heard about this pandemic. This coronavirus thing, and I could hear all the different discussions that were going on from the White House and from the health, from CDC and all of the different places that they were talking about it, and I knew the seriousness of it, because, you know, of course our president was playing it down, you know, I was like, you know, and he never told the truth, so I really really wasn't paying no attention to him. And so even if it was an inkling that this was serious, then I didn't want to take the chance with their lives, especially or even with the life of my wife. My wife, she has underlying medical concerns, and I wouldn't want to bring something to her that would take her out of here. And so that's what it comes down to. How much do you love the person that you're with? I didn't mean to go out that far. I just go off on the rampant like that. Let somebody else come in and talk.
No, you're right. I just want to say, from experience. Now, my mom and my dad was never married, right? But my dad grew up in the military, and of course, you know, in the military and the police department and stuff like that. You know, he was involved. He was a Mason. I mean, he got all the way to the top. So I couldn't talk to my daddy at all about church. Now, we was going to church every Sunday. Every time the church was open, we was there, right? He would get mad. He would literally get mad. He used to get mad that we were going to church all the time. You don't got to go to church all the time, this, and that, yada, yada, yada. That was my whole life.
Right.
Growing up, my whole life. Now, stuff happens, and I still talk to him about church, or, you know, when he tell me stuff, I always relate it back to God some kind of way. And don't you know, like, recently, like within a year or two, he's been talking about God. He went to church and everything. And I'm like, wow, it's crazy. You know,
it would happen.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Because the pull of God on your life is stronger than anything else in this world. Now, you know, the Masons, you know, claim that their connection with God, and so it's sufficient for a lot of guys that's all that they need to get through it. You know, I mean, they feel like that they have a connection with God through the Masons stuff. Like, they don't got to go to church. It ain't necessary to go to church every Sunday.
It ain't necessary to do all that. You ain't got to do all that.
Yeah, you gotta do all that, you know, to be saved, you know, just believe in God and going back to the house. To some guy, that's all they need. But but the truth of the matter is, we need God more than we think. See, it's not about your thought process. You can't be analytical about what God says. You just gotta believe it.
Just gotta believe
it. And you just gotta believe it. It's just that simple. And he made it so simple that babes could get it. But those who are very intelligent and wise, they missed the mark because they want to see the facts. They want to see the evidence of it. And so much about God you can't see. It's hard for people to believe. But the truth of it is that you don't have to see it to believe it. You have to believe it to see it.
Like what they say, you got to believe it before you see it.
You got to believe it to see it.
Yeah.
Amen.
And your seeing is believing.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Because when I believe it, I see it. I see all of it. But it's not, it's not hard to do. You just got to accept it, and as you do, he reveals himself more and more to you. The revelation of God is y'all gonna make me holler on this. I don't even supposed to be hollering on this program. Y'all supposed to holler on this program.
You can holler, man. You can holler, Big Joe. Again.
Go ahead.
You got the okay. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
I'm just saying. But I hear you. I hear you, brother. And see, if we be honest with ourselves and with our lives, none of our lives are the same in that sense that they are perfect. And you know, you grew up in this house and everybody loved everybody. And listen, I'm from a big family. It's 13 children in our family. 14 if you count my half-brother, okay? So, but 13 grew up in the house together. We love each other, but we didn't always get along. And so we'd be fighting and over nothing. But listen, you couldn't come over there and fight none of us, okay? Now, we could fight each other, but if you came over there and jumped on somebody, the whole house would jump on you.
Yep.
That's the way that went. And so all of our experiences are unique and different, but they are part of the fabric of life. And in each situation, we can make it if we believe. And Paul is trying to help these Christians out, and young Christians who are preparing to move into their life. He says, don't be unequally yoked with, don't hook up with the world and think it's going to go well with you. I mean, if you know going in, most people don't know that at in their teens and in their 20s, they don't know that. I mean, if I'm looking at having a relationship with God, that's going to be a problem for me if I hook up with Bubba, you know, and Bubba's in a gang, or Bubba is smoking dope, and Bubba's doing all these things, and Bubba ain't thinking about God in no sense. You know, I knew this couple that got married early on, and he was a soldier, and she was a beautiful girl. They got married, and I think he had 5 kids with her, but they just couldn't get along. She went to church every Sunday, went to Bible study every Wednesday night. She loved God, but he never went to church. But he loved her, and she loved him. Even after they broke up and got a divorce, they never left each other. They were friends for life. And wherever she would move, he would move down the street. And he stayed a part of the children's lives and all of that. So it can work. And then in the end, I was called in to pray for him, came to the hospital and prayed for him. And he recovered, and he came out and started. But, you know, he never did come to church. He never came to church. He never came to church, but he did accept Christ. So I mean, we keep thinking that church is at the building, but it's in your heart. It's in the people of God. And I think that all of this is happening now is reminding us of some true values that we ought to be looking at, as opposed to running out to the building. And these, some of these guys are unique, and they doing all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, I'm not with that, but, you know, whatever floats their boat, I guess they have to do what
they
do.
You know, I got to be nosy how they being unique. You know, I got to be nosy how they being unique.
You know, preaching on the parking lot with, you know, and the people blowing the horns, and that's unique. I'm, you know, who would think of anything like that unless you?
Wow.
you just putting on a show, and you need to do that. They need to see you. You need to see them in order for it to be a show. But if you're preaching the word and teaching the word, you don't even have to see the person. You can just hear the word, and it makes the difference. That's what I mean by that. And I ain't trying to I ain't talking about nobody. I ain't going after nobody. I'm just saying what I'm saying.
For those of you who are listening, we are online with Pastor Mark Harris, Cooper Missionary Baptist Church, and you're listening to Big Joe, Mind, Body, and Soul.
Thank you.
How you doing there, AT? How you doing there, AT? I'm sorry. I
doing
forgot to tell everybody AT slipped there at the back door.
I'm trying to make sure that I'm remaining equally yoked in everything that in every relationship and every experience. Even
I do apologize. I do apologize. I saw you when you came in. I do apologize.
No need for apology. I just want to just real quick just tell you I had a very inspiring conversation with Mr. Leo Sullivan of Leo Sullivan Multimedia, AfroKids.tv. And so he's an animator who does online teaching for children. And of course, it's from an African American standpoint, you know. So that's who I was on. I'll give you some history of, if you don't know who he is, real quick. I just want to say this real quick. If you don't know who he is, he was the original animator who created the Soul Train train animation as it danced around when Mr. Don Cornelius was coming on.
Really?
He also was instrumental in being an animator for the Fat Albert cartoon and everything like that. And he has a host of things that he's done. So that's who I ended up, I was on the phone with. I apologize to everyone, but if it wasn't a blessing to be in there and being inspired by him. So just wanted to give that little shout out to him. I'm happy to be able to been able to talk with him and everything like that. So new things on the horizon.
Thank you. Hope everything goes right for you.
Hey, I hope it goes right for all of our kids that are coming up. We need that content.
We
so
really do.
Catch
we
me
really
up just
do.
A little bit, because what I was looking at, you know, is where 2 Corinthians 6 and 14 says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness." So what have you guys been talking about? Just in a very brief synopsis up here, what did I miss just a little bit?
You pretty much missed a lot. I mean, you honestly missed a lot. Pastor Harris was definitely informing us on the true definition of what it means to be unequally yoked. And one of my questions, I'm sorry, AT, you're going to have to go back because you're going to have to go back and listen. I'm sorry, AT. I can't
I'll
get
go back
you
and
up
listen.
Right
I know
now.
We got the time. You know.
We got about 10 minutes left. With the saying unequally yoked, are we using it out of content in a lot of times or when referring to relationships? Are we using it out of content from what the scripture is referring to? Because if you have, let's be honest, we've seen divorce in the church in such a high rate. I think we got maybe 10 minutes. Thank you, B-Ray. I don't know how you did it, but thank you. We got a little bit more time, y'all. Thank you again, B-Ray. We've seen divorce in the church in a high rate. And we have heard the statement that they weren't or they were unequally yoked. But if they believe the same thing that Jesus can fix it all, how are they using it in the wrong content?
Yeah, you know, which is a great question.
Did I lose
you? No, you didn't lose me. You didn't lose me at all. I'm right here, brother.
No. I'm talking about Pastor Harris.
Well, no, I'm
Pastor
here.
Pastor Harris.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, Pastor Harris is there.
Are we using that in the wrong content?
I don't know what content people are using it in. However, There are those who are confused about the fact that it may be irreconcilable differences as to be unequally yoked. To be unequally yoked is what Paul was telling the people in Corinth or the young people in Corinth before they got into relationships, before they got into a marriage, that they should take their time in their choosing of a person who they're going to be yoked with in order to pull whatever burdens they have along through life, they ought to at least be trying to go in the same direction. And
so, yeah,
light
so
and darkness. Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah, now I was going to say, would that be the same as kind of like an alignment of covenant that is God ordered that to come into agreement on, basically serving God in the same light, like, hey, I can't be with you if you're a non-believer, because, you know, I am a believer and I want God to honor what we have, and we need to come into covenant with this, as opposed to someone says,
how can two walk together and accept they agree?
Exactly.
It's what the scripture says.
And then, and people, you know, like me and Big Joe were talking earlier, where even I have had the misconception before. And he was talking about it like, hey, man, I have to do a deeper dive. And he was asking me to do a deeper dive as well, because one of my questions is, you know, yeah, I've seen where people are like, you know, well, one likes this thing, but the other one doesn't. But this one likes this thing, but the other one doesn't. But they come into agreement. My deal was kind of in the middle. I was like, well, if they come into an agreement in covenant under God to say, hey, I'm willing to offer my compromise for our covenant while you're willing to offer your compromise for our covenant, to come together in these two areas where we just totally don't match, then that can still be something where I'm thinking, where we can still be equally yoked. Like you said, the delineation could be based on differences in, you know, our characteristics and the things that we do, but we still go to the source, to God, in our covenant together to say, no, but we're going to seek first the kingdom and its righteousness. So all these things can be added to us. And by things, that could even mean our differences can fall into alignment when we come together. You can still have whatever it is you have. I still have whatever it is that I have within me. But because I love the Lord and I love our covenant together, I have the compromise and the willingness to say, hey, I'm going to align myself with you as we align ourselves with God to be in one covenant. And that's what I was thinking. You're still yoked, even though you may have differences. I love the story you were telling. I came in on it. Of the couple who still are in each other's lives even now, even in absence from, I think it's absence from marriage, but they're still like one. Hey, you move to one city, I'm moving with you. We're there. It's like they have some type of equal yoking there, or some covenant or something like that that keeps them, you know, on a unified front. So I'm thinking that, or is our thinking supposed to be more based on that, rather than what we oftentimes do by saying, oh, because I like red and you like blue, we're unequally yoked, which is a simplified way that people are missing what God is saying as it pertains to us having the same belief, believing in God and allowing him to bless our covenant. So that's kind of where my thought was. And, you know, am I kind of on the right path with that, or some things that are misaligned with that?
No, I think that you're right in that thought process. I'm just saying that, you know, if you already are, most young people don't think like that. That's the other problem. I mean, you know, we don't think like that when we're 19 and 20 years old, and we're in a position of, you know, meeting somebody and making a covenant with them for the rest of our life. We usually base that on a look as opposed to a reference from God's word about relationships and about marriage. We don't know that at that point in our life, usually, you know. But if we grew up in church and it had been taught to us, we've been told that, we've read it and we understand it, then we look at a relationship going forward. I mean, surely if I'm singing in the choir and I'm an usher on the board and I'm a child of God and I know I am, and then I get pulled to the side by this drug dealer. He likes me, he's cute, you know, but I'm in church, he ain't in church. I mean, should I hook up with it? The answer to that is right here in the text. Don't do it. You'd be better off if you did not do that. You know, because it's going to cause you a lot of pain in the long run.
Now I say, you know, and it pains me sometimes to see our sisters in Christ who want to. It's okay to pray for someone, but pray him through a situation and align yourselves with him when he's a non-believer, or just in reverse. I think I can cover my woman who's a non-believer, I could bring her into the fold. No, wait, hey, she needs
right,
to be a believer.
Right, you gonna, yeah. Right, right. You can't make people what they're not. You can't
right,
hope
right.
that they're gonna come into the fellowship just because you are. And when I counsel young people going into marriage, I tell them, baby, whatever he is now, that's what you're marrying. And there's no guarantee that any of that is going to change. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we have couples where a girl is working, she's working two jobs, the guy ain't got no job, ain't going to never get, he ain't looking for no job, right? And she said, well, he going to get a job. I said, baby, if I marry you under the conditions that it is right now, you're going to marry this man, ain't got no job. There's no guarantee he's going to ever get a job. And you can't come back here to me in a year from now talking about you want a divorce because he ain't got no job. Well, he ain't got no job now.
Right.
I mean, if you
right.
love him, wait till he get a job. You know, wait till he can provide for you. Wait till he can go and put some money down on a house. You know, it's like, why would you put yourself
right.
in a position hoping that it's going to change? So
exactly.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think that Paul is right in his perception, but you know, I mean, but there's always, you know, the thought of there's always an exception to the rule, right? That's
yeah.
that's our premise. Yeah. It's always an exception to the rule. This may be exceptional. You know, but there's some things that are not an exception to the rule.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It ain't going to change. It is
exactly.
absolute. Right. Yes, sir.
Now, that brings up something off script. Quickly, if there is a such thing as quickly, what is the definition of a soul tie? We have all heard, oh, soul tie. We're soul tied together. What is a soul tie? What is that?
You mean a soul mate?
No, a soul tie. I was going to say define soul tie and also define soul mate because those two things are two different things.
I don't know what a soul tie is. Come on, help me, somebody.
I've heard the statement that once you fornicate, once you go into that realm, you open up a realm of soul ties.
I think I might understand what you're saying, but wouldn't that be like, are you saying basically like if I was to go and you said fornicate, if I was to go to sleep with this person, soul tied to me, I think means pretty much that's a spirit, like. What they say, once you get with one person, that's like seven other spirits you're bringing back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard the statement. I've heard the statement by many preachers, and I can't say that. Mark Harris is not one of the preachers that I've heard say it, but I've heard preachers. And pastors make the statement of soul ties, and I just kind of to get a definition of what that was.
I don't know what that means. I ain't never heard that.
Here's the deal. We know that. When a man and woman come together, they lay together, they know each other, right? They, as the Bible says, no means to lay with each other, no means to make covenant for your body, and for those who want a more explicit explanation when they have sex. Let's just say that. I'm not afraid of the word.
Right.
When that happens, okay, so now there's it's like a physical covenant that God has honored for marriage, right? You say, I consummate my marriage, right? There's a consummation, which means there's an agreement that's been formed, and it's been formed by a physical bond that comes together, right? So whatever is tarrying or whatever you are carrying in your spirit now becomes a bond with whatever that other person is carrying in their spirit, and sometimes they haven't released all of the any detriment or some of the good that's come from old spirits that they haven't cut off yet because they hadn't reconciled with God first, you know, to look inside the inner man, inner woman, inner soul, the inner cosmos, to say, okay, I need to clear myself spiritually, make myself pure, and present myself to the person who's going to be my husband or my wife, right? Yes, there's tons of fornication out here, right? So when you lay down, the reason why soul tie came up is because now you become tied to this person through a physical contact, unknowing that you are tying yourself to whatever the spirit they are carrying is. And whatever spirit that you're carrying is a thing that they start to blend, become akin to each other, and there's a certain kinship that's not necessarily a God covenant that ties you to a person and causes you to miss, causes each person, one or the other or each or both, to miss what God is saying as it pertains to, hey, you know, like you said, there are exceptions to the rule. I may have brought you two together, but guess what? I may not have brought you two together. But for the purpose of what my will is, it's getting interrupted by this distraction because now you're tying yourselves to each other outside of covenant, and you're moving that forward. So people begin to think when they emotionally tie themselves together, they begin to spiritually tie themselves together. They take their focus off of God and start focusing on each other. And then when they start focusing on each other, now they have a distraction to not hear what God is saying to them, right? And so now they're tied. And so things don't work out well. They break off, but then they find themselves coming back together. And a lot of times they're coming back together for that physical interaction. And that becomes that soul tie that they need to break away. And if I'm over here and I have the spirit of robbing stores in me and I hadn't fully been delivered from that, then guess what? I've now taken my physical being, merged with her physical being, and I've transferred that energy to say now those things that are in me are part of her, those things that are in her are now part of me, and we may start going back to things may get rough and it's like, hey, man, I might need to go ahead and make this lick real quick, rob this store, and she probably would never agree with that and say, no, King, listen, this is not what God would have you do because we've tied each other together with that physical bond. She may say, you know what, okay, well, you know, I'm just going to pray for you, but, yeah, we do need to get this money. Let's go ahead and do it, and it causes us to miss God. So that's the soul tie side. The soul mate side is more along the lines of the two people that you were talking about earlier. Even though they're not together, but they're still tied by their soul as a soul mate, because, look, no matter what happens, I will still pray with you. I will still fellowship with you. I will still hold you in the highest regard to God. I will still seek God about you. I will seek God for you. Soulmates don't necessarily mean a husband and wife, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, or best friends. It could be best friends. It could be a mother-child relationship, a father-child relationship, because now we're tied by our soul. We're mated by our souls. There's some kindred person out here who I'm called to pray with. For whatever reason, this is a stranger. I'm called to pray with them, and for whatever reason, when we come together, it becomes strong, and now we have a powerful ministry together. And the deal is, now I'm praying for him or her. He's praying for me, and we're both seeking God as we go on carrying out His will. So I think the soul mates are where it's more from a spiritual side. A soul tie is more from a carnal side. So that's where my explanation of the two comes
from. Yeah, you're talking about a flesh tied to the flesh as well as, you know, as opposed to being a soul, right? We're talking about the flesh
as
opposed to the spirit.
Yeah, actually, yes, but the flesh becoming the medium that seals a covenant to allow the souls to to look at each other before they look to God, you know? So, yeah, the soul is attached,
right,
but it's attached through a different medium rather than from a spiritual side first.
I got you. Listen, y'all taught me something new tonight. I'm serious. I was like, what? But now I understand what you're saying when you put it all together. But the truth of the matter is that it's either your flesh or your spirit. You're right.
Right.
And people are tied together by flesh more so than they are tied by spirit because it's natural. It's more natural to be tied to a person by the flesh than it is to be tied to them by the spirit, because you got to be spiritual in order to be tied by the spirit. Right. And so you have to have a relationship with God in order to be spiritual. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah, which is exactly what Paul is saying right here. This is exactly what he's saying. If you're spiritual, don't mingle or don't intertwine
with the flesh, with
someone that's not, that with someone that don't believe like you believe.
Right.
There you go.
That's it.
Yeah, I got you. That's it. That's the bottom line. What teenager is operating in the spirit? Not many. Okay.
Right.
Unless they have a relationship with God. I was going to church as a teenager. My father was a pastor, but I wasn't operating in the spirit. I was operating in the flesh, you know, and so people get twisted by what they feel over against what they believe. And there is a difference. So you're right.
Absolutely.
You're right in your thought process, and I agree with that wholeheartedly. Thank you again allowing me to come and just share. Appreciate
no
you guys.
No problem. Anytime. You are more than welcome. Are you about to leave? Did we run out of time?
I mean, how much time did they give you? Because you way past your hour.
I know. My boss has been really, really nice to me. She gave me, I think I got another 15 minutes to go.
Okay.
Does anybody have any questions on the subject?
I don't have a question. I just want to say I really enjoyed the topic. I mean, it opens my eyes more to, like, outside of the box, meaning, like, outside of what I've been taught. So, I mean, it's good. It's a good word, you know, and I'm in good conversation.
Absolutely. And I'll say this, everyone, you are listening to Mind, Body, and Soul with Big Joe. WeTalkRadio.com. If you want to call in these last few minutes, if you're out there and you feel like you want to call in and say something or ask a question for our last few minutes, the number is 563-999-3456. Again, 563-999-3456. And we've been honored to have Pastor Mark Harris of Cooper Street.
Pastor, that just came in. Pastor, real quick, can you give us your Zoom information and how to reach you, your services?
Well, you know, of course, the Zoom services come. You first have got to be on Zoom. And if you are on Zoom, you can look up, I think it's Cooper McKinney Baptist. We're on 7 o'clock on the Wednesdays. 7 to 8, and on Sunday mornings at 10:30. I don't have the information in front of me. I'm not really tech. My son, thank God, is a is a nerd, and he knows about all of this stuff.
So we will definitely get it out there. We will definitely get it out there. It is no problem.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
I do have a quick question for you.
Yes,
hold on, let me take this real quick. Everyone who wants to find Pastor Harris, you can look up Zoom on Google. You can Google Zoom or go to zoom.us, and then you can search for Cooper Missionary Baptist Church there. So go ahead with your question. I just wanted to give them an opportunity.
We also have Pastor Howard on the line as well, you guys.
Pastor
Howard.
Hey,
how you doing, Pastor?
God bless you.
We're doing well.
Pastor
Howard,
what church? What church are
you
in?
Is that Pastor Howard Rose Jr.?
Yes, can you hear me?
Pastor Howard. I can hear you now, yes.
Oh, okay. I did not remember how to unmute myself. I unmuted my phone but did not do it on the line. We're doing well. I actually have you on, have my phone on speaker. My wife, Pastor Patience, is here with me, and we are well. We're excited about what God is doing in this hour and excited about what God is doing with Brother Joe and Brother Antonio on this radio show. Just excited and glad to be a part of this and hear how they are bringing forth different topics and matters and things that need to be discussed among the body of Christ, and jogging people's minds and thought processes, and causing people to really think about what the Word of God says concerning these different subject matters. So we're excited about that.
Thank you.
Pastor Harris,
I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Is it unequally yoked when one is trying to live holy and the other is not, although the other person is saved?
That's a good question.
Good one.
That's a good question. You can be saved and not be living holy, okay? I don't think it would be unequal. If they're both saved, then they both have the platform from which to work from. The Word of God will direct us in all of our living, period. And it's unequally yoked when the person is unsaved and not willing to be saved. Those of us who are saved, we're saved because of what we believe. And we'll get better as we go forward in life because of the Word itself that teaches us, that points us in the right direction to do the right things. And we don't always do the right thing. And we're not always living holy, but we ought to at least be trying. And so it is not unequally yoked if you're both saved, although one may not be living holy. That makes sense?
Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense to me.
Yes, sir.
But that is a good question. I mean, you know, none of us, if we're honest, if we're truthful with each other, none of us are living holy all the time.
True.
Yeah. So.
What about the person that is trying?
What about them?
What about the person that is trying to live holy 24/7, but that spouse that she's with or he's with, they feel like they're not?
Well, listen, we ought to always be trying, and we're not always successful. And that's life. And if the person who's trying and they feel like the other person isn't trying as hard or not doing what they, then they have to have patience. Because everybody don't grow on the same level at the same rate. But you know, if she trusts God, she'll wait on that person to come to the knowledge of the truth. There are a lot of people who are ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so that's a sad case. That's a sad place to be. But what are you going to do? What you going to quit them because they ain't trying as hard as you? Or do you think that you got it already and you have made it to that pivotal point that you have succumbed all of this? Listen, it's a daily chore. It's a daily task to live right. You know, even after 40 years, some mornings you wake up, you don't wake up feeling saved. You wake up, you're mad about something or you're upset about something, but then you get up and you pray about it. You pray about it and ask God to lead you in the right direction. Every day is a challenge. Some days you get it right. Some days you don't. But you ought to be ever learning. And after you get in there, you've been in there long enough, there's some things you don't have to think about. They just is. See, I moved to a point in my life and my experience with God to I don't believe I know. There's some things I know. With everything in me, I know it. It has been revealed through his spirit and his power and his love. And so you push on because you realize life is short. It's a vapor. We're here for a moment and then we're gone. But it's the good. I don't know if any of y'all remember. Dr. Albert E. Chu said the only thing that you can take out of this world is what you've given away. And I hold that to be true.
Mm-hmm. That's good word.
Yes, sir.
We are right here on the Mind, Body, and Soul with Big Joe. I am your host, Big Joe, T. Smiley, A.G.
Yes,
Black, B.
Yes,
Ray,
sir.
You still in the building? I think B. Ray is checking lines.
Of course, I'm here.
Did Kia D run off?
Yeah, she had to run off for me.
Oh, okay.
It's no problem. Pastor, I thank you so much. We got about 9 minutes left. Again, Pastor Mark A. Harris of the Cooper Missionary Baptist Church, thank you so much. Pastor, I know you're online. I did get a chance, Pastor. I got you. I promise you, we will definitely finish up this conversation. It will not be the last time. We just honestly running out of time. Pastor Harris, if you don't mind, can you please pray us out?
I would love to. It's been my honor to have shared with you guys. And, as we go through this pandemic and however long it's going to take, let us be an encourager of one another and impress upon the minds of individuals that we meet and that we talk to that Jesus Christ is still the answer to everything that we have issues with. As we bow our heads tonight in prayer, Lord, how we thank and bless your name for this privilege and opportunity to come before you in prayer. We ask your blessings upon this podcast and the individuals who were named that would strengthen the resolve of those listeners who would chime in to different topics to understand what it is in your word that would direct them to do the right things. We bless your name for who you are. We thank you for your presence with us on tonight, and we ask you to strengthen all under the sound of my voice. If they're having any issues, whatever they may be, that they will be addressed by you, because we know that there are some things that only you can do. And then, God, we give your name praise for who you are, because you have kept us in spite of us. We pray for the leadership all over the world at this time, and the people all over the world, those whose hearts are being broken every day by loss and pain and anguish. But then, God, we realize that ultimately our goal is to meet you face to face, and that in that day, in that hour, you would put your arms around us and bring us in. These blessings we ask in the name of Jesus, and for his sake we pray, and we thank God. Amen.
Thank God.
Amen.
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 God. Hallelujah.
Bless you.
Amen. This is the Mind, Body, and Soul Show with Big Joe. I'm your host, Big Joe. A.T. Black, T. Smiley. Thank you again, Pastor Harris. Pastor Rose, I'm sorry I couldn't get to you. Pastor Howard, we will definitely get you on.
For that man that doesn't have
good
a
good night, everybody.
Good night.
That little boy living with AIDS. Can I tell you a story? Tell you a story. You can lean on me. There's a man. Oh yeah. Standing on the corner. He had no home. He has no food. And his blue skies are gone. Yes, it is. Can you hear him crying out?
Myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can.
Come on, let him know.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
What would happen if a generation embraced it? Come on, tell them.
Here I am. Here I am.
Take my heart. Take my love. Take my life. That's the thing. Thanks for tuning in to We Talk Radio Network.